Hello, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. In each episode, you'll hear from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. It's been a decade since acclaimed interior designer and television star Tom Felicia added another title to his resume, bone marrow donor. Tom, a former co-star of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, donated marrow to his brother Jules 10 years ago after Jules received a diagnosis of myelofibrosis. Now, Tom has partnered with biopharma company GSK to launch the online initiative Mapping Myelofibrosis, dedicated to raising awareness about this type of blood cancer in collaboration with organizations including the MPN Research Foundation and MPN Advocacy and Education International. Tom, alongside Dr. Andrew Kirkendall of the Moffitt Cancer Center's Department of Malignant Hematology, spoke with CURE about his experience as a donor, his dedication to increasing awareness about myelofibrosis, and some persistent misconceptions regarding bone marrow donation.
I had gone through a bone marrow transplant with my brother, and I learned about myelofibrosis through that experience. And I realized at that time that there was very little information. It was very hard to navigate. And that was 10 years ago. And so today, there's been so many advancements in that space. And I was really excited to be a part of connecting people with Mapping Myelofibrosis and mappingmf.com, which is the website, and Mapping Myelofibrosis. You can go to that on Facebook and sort of get information about myelofibrosis to really understand it. And the website's great because it has all of the tools and the things that didn't exist when I was doing this many, many years ago. There's educational tools. It's a community. So you're able to get stories and hear from people that are going through it at different levels, connect with doctors. It's a really great resource. It's a springboard for people that are either, I would imagine, going through the diagnosis for themselves or maybe as a support group to somebody who's going through it, and to be able to have, you know, just to be informed. And that was the biggest issue for me and my family and my experience, was that just not having information. And we were kind of dealing with things in the moment sort of head on. And we were able to navigate that, which wasn't easy.
You know, myelofibrosis is a challenge, I think, because first of all, it's a very rare disease. We're talking about 25,000 people in the United States have this, maybe one in 500,000 people worldwide have this disease. So very rare disease. And I think one of the other challenges with this disease is, you know, this is a chronic kind of blood disorder or blood cancer that really can present in a variety of ways. And so, you know, people can either present with just abnormal blood counts. They could present with painful abdominal pain or splenomegaly, where their spleen is enlarged or other organs can be enlarged. It could be from, you know, having fevers, chills, night sweats, bone pain, a lot of symptoms that bring them to healthcare. And so it's one of those things where all those people could come with a variety of symptoms yet receive the same diagnosis. And I think that that's challenging because it doesn't necessarily present in one way. There's no kind of map. We often say like the disease doesn't read the textbook. And that's very true when it comes to myelofibrosis. And because of that, because people present in different ways, and because it's a rare disease, I think it's hard to sometimes get good information. I think that community aspect we talk about, like connecting with other patients, you know, you could talk to another patient. Maybe you meet one patient that has the same diagnosis or same disease. Well, their symptoms could be 100% different than yours. And so I think creating this network or community where you can interact with a variety of different patients, hear stories, hear patient experiences, get connected with experts, it means you're getting the best information and information that's relevant to you.
It was 10 years ago. My brother is actually, at this moment, it's his 10th anniversary of recovery, and he's doing really well. But at the time, it was, first and foremost, it was a disease I knew nothing about. I'd never even heard of it before. So that in and of itself was kind of a very unusual situation to have to navigate that. And then when we really understood what was going on in his case, and as Dr. Kirkendall explained, you know, it's very different from person to person. So in his situation, we needed to move very quickly. And in his case, the most appropriate at that time was a bone marrow transplant. So that's what we needed to do. And I was, they discovered that I was very quickly not only a match, but a perfect match or an exact match. I forget what exactly it was called, but it happened quickly. We were very fortunate. My brother went through it. He was, I guess, sort of a textbook patient, and he had a great attitude, and he had a great support system, and our family and his family and just friends and great doctors. And it really fell together, but we were really in the dark. We did not understand what it was, what to expect, how this was, we didn't really have, there was no, very little information, and it was very difficult to navigate.
I think there are some misconceptions about transplant. This remains the only curative option that we have. We have a lot of treatments. We have a lot of things that make people's lives better. But when we talk about cure, transplant really remains that option for that. And, it's not an option for everyone, but I think there's misconceptions on who it is an option for. And so sometimes people think, oh, you got to be really young to get a transplant. And certainly the fitter you are, the better. But really, we're doing transplants for an increasing number of patients these days. Patients that are older, sometimes that have comorbidities, and this remains an option. But aside from that, we have lots of therapies that also are there to make patients' lives better, and then can be a bridge to transplant. A lot of the therapies that we've developed over the past few years are there to help patients kind of become better candidates for transplant, have better quality of life overall. And I think these are some misconceptions that may play out. And if you go to websites like mappingmf.com, get involved in this community, you can hear stories about people who've gone through this situation and have kind of seen the real benefit of some of these things we have to offer.
Just as Dr. Kirkendall was saying, everyone, you may or may not need to go down. There's different ways, different treatments and different ways to sort of handle your path with myelofibrosis. My brother was recommended to do a bone marrow transplant, and that was the best path for him. And I would say we had a really great experience with it. My brother is very healthy today. Our experience in going through it was pretty seamless, and it was a good experience, for both of us, and a positive outcome, which is really great. We're blood brothers at a level, that is very different than just being brothers, because we now share the same DNA, and we've gone through this experience together. And, it was a pretty impactful experience, as any experience, traveling with somebody, doing, having a positive experience with somebody can be a really powerful impact. And it was, and it is.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.